As some of you have probably come to know in the time we've been together, I love food. I love thinking about it, growing it, studying it, cooking it, and of course, eating it. So you can imagine my excitement when I began to look over these lessons and saw that not one, not two, but in fact three of the lessons we just heard somehow involve food. Isaiah, the Psalm, and our gospel lesson all touch on food. So let's set the table for today's gospel lesson. Yes, pun intended. First of all, what in the world is it that Jesus has heard that is causing him to withdraw into a deserted place? Listen closely to the first line of the gospel lesson. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. What Jesus has heard, as was told in the chapter prior to what we just heard today, was that his beloved cousin, John the Baptist, the one who had prepared the way for Jesus, he had just been executed at the hands of the state. Jesus' emotions aren't described in this story, but I think that they certainly were implied. I can imagine Jesus being wrecked. He needed time to withdraw to that deserted place, to have some time alone. He needed time to mourn, to grieve for his friend and for his partner in ministry. This emotion-filled Jesus, it doesn't just end with grief. As we read on, we hear that he experiences tremendous compassion for the crowds as he goes ashore. Jesus is moved from compassion to action, and he begins by curing those who were sick. That evening, Jesus is moved from compassion to action once again. The disciples ask Jesus, the one who has authority, to send the crowds away so that they can go out into the villages to buy food. But Jesus isn't interested in the disciples' plan. He says, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." I can only imagine the bewildered stuttering and stammering of the disciples. "But Jesus, come on, man. All we have is like 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You've got to be kidding. What are we supposed to do? There isn't even enough for us to make some fish sandwiches for ourselves, let alone for all these other people." You see, the disciples naively assumed that their limited resources couldn't help feed those who were hungry. Jesus, though, he doesn't see those limited resources as a barrier, and he doesn't skip a beat. He immediately tells the disciples to bring the loaves and the fish to him. He gives thanks for the food, he blesses the food, and he rips the loaves of bread in half. As the disciples begin to distribute the food, miraculously, it doesn't run out. We are told that the 5 loaves and the 2 fish fed the entire crowd. And this crowd is said to number 5,000 men, so let's say 30,000 people as a conservative estimate by the time we factor in all the women and the children. Even so, not only did everyone get their fill, but there was an abundance of leftovers. You know, this type of story, it isn't a new thing in the biblical tradition. If you recall the background to the 8-day-long Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, you will remember that the story is that there was only enough oil for the temple's menorah, or lampstand, to burn for 1 day. Miraculously, it burned for 8 whole days. So it was when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness without food. the books of both Exodus and Numbers, they say that God caused manna to rain down, miraculously providing sustenance for the Israelites. You see, my friends, our God is a God of abundance. In our gospel lesson today, and in these brief stories that I just recalled, God turns scarcity into abundance, famine into feast, dry ground into rich, fertile soil. Last Sunday, we heard the parable of the mustard seed, how this most unlikely of seeds, this teeny tiny seed, becomes an enormous shrub able to provide shade and shelter for a variety of creatures. I wonder if we might look at today's gospel lesson in light of that parable. I wonder if we might look at God as continuously surprising us with compassion, with generosity, with abundance, and with love. Now, many scholars and preachers over the years have indicated that this story of feeding the 5,000 foreshadows the great feast of the Eucharist that Jesus instituted on the night before he died. And I think this is a very fine interpretation. However, I wonder what this Eucharistic interpretation means in our own time, in 2020, when we have been separated from physically receiving the body and blood of Christ for many months. What does it mean to look at this story through a Eucharistic lens? I've heard from many individuals that the spiritual communion prayer that we've been praying, well, fine, it seems to come up a bit short. They leave feeling a bit dry in their souls. I understand that. And in those stories that people have told me, I hear them speaking, echoing Jesus' words to the disciples, "Derek, you give us something to eat." So here's what I've got for you. I'm wondering what it might look like to think about that seemingly meager spiritual communion prayer in light of both last week's mustard seed story and today's feeding of the 5,000. If God can cause an enormous shrub to grow from a tiny seed and can feed tens of thousands of people with but 5 loaves and 2 fish, what can God do to feed his people during a time of pandemic? I don't have a quick and easy answer for you on this one, but I can tell you where God is pointing us: towards abundance, towards generosity, and towards compassion. I invite you to pray that God would take the apparent meagerness of that spiritual communion prayer and use it, like in the days of old, to feed his followers, to feed you and all those who hunger for communion with God, until at long last we can gather together as one family around God's banquet table for our Eucharistic feast. That is my prayer, and I invite you to make it your own. And finally, as the weariness of this pandemic grows, and you feel like you have nothing left some days to give to your job, to your family, to your community, remember this: the smallest of seeds can grow into an enormous shrub. The smallest of acts of kindness, of compassion, of generosity, of love, can be transformed into a tremendous gift for someone else. And some days, if you feel like you cannot even manage to be kind or compassionate or generous, don't worry, because there is one thing that I know you can do. And it requires no resources, no special training or tools. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your community and for those far beyond. And know that God uses each of us in all of our particularities to carry out God's ongoing work of restoring all things to relationship with God. Do not think that what you have to offer isn't sufficient. It is sufficient for God, and you are sufficient for God. You are part of this great, ever-unfolding story of God making all things new. And God invites you to join him in that work. Just like Jesus invited the disciples to cooperate with him in the work of feeding his followers in mind, body, and spirit out of profound love for them. May we go and do likewise. Amen.